Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here we go. We've got the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation in hand. So here you go. Here's our friend Jeff Laszlofy.
Each legislative session, the government affairs team at the Montana Family Foundation maintains a full-time presence at the Montana Capitol. Job one is to kill the bad bills and pass the good ones. But there are times when the legislature wants to speak to an issue without creating a new law. This is done through resolutions. Resolutions are simply the legislature voicing its opinion on a subject that can be as innocuous as recognizing a citizen for their service to the state, clear up to issues of national security, like recognizing the right of Taiwan to exist as a nation separate from mainland China. Resolutions also take two forms. They can be a House or Senate resolution, separate and independent of the other chamber, or they can be joint resolutions where the two bodies speak with one voice. Tomorrow, I'll testify on House Joint Resolution number 9, a resolution supporting Israel's right to exist, as well as condemning all forms of anti-Semitism and condemning terrorist attacks on the people of Israel. As a Christian who leads tour groups to Israel and someone who regularly lobbies for U.S. military support of Israel in the U.S. Congress, I find it shocking that the question of Israel's right to exist is even questioned in 2025. After the Jewish Holocaust in World War II and the founding of the Jewish state in 1948, one would think the issue was settled. In truth, it's anything but settled in the minds of many of Israel's neighbors who not only condone but actively work toward the annihilation of the Jewish state. And it's not limited to Jews in the nation of Israel. If we've learned anything from the events after the attack on Israel by Hamas on October 7th, 2023, it's that anti-Semitism is alive and well across the globe. In my opinion, Israel is the brightest spot in the Middle East. It's the only true democracy. It's a technological powerhouse. It's now a major supplier of clean-burning natural gas. And it's a nation where three major religions are allowed to coexist and worship freely. Jews, Christians, and Muslims all serve in the highest ranks of the Israeli Defense Forces and in the Israeli Parliament. No other country in the Middle East allows that level of religious freedom. I have many Arab friends who live in complete peace and prosperity with their Jewish neighbors and whose families have done so for generations. I also have Muslim friends who attend the bar mitzvahs of the children of their Jewish neighbors. Then there are the others, those who serve as proxies for Iran and teach their children from day one that all Jews must be killed. These are the members of Hamas, Hezbollah, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and others. These are the ones whose actions are condemned by House Joint Resolution 9. Prior to the attack on October 7th, I stood with IDF forces on the border of Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria, looking just across the fence at Hamas, Hezbollah, and even Iranian Revolutionary Guard positions. I drank tea with friends in Kibbutz Kfar Aza, a kibbutz that just a few months later was overrun by Hamas terrorists who killed, raped, tortured, and butchered men, women, children, and even babies indiscriminately, and even filmed themselves in the process. These are the same people who rained tens of thousands of unguided rockets down on Israeli cities, indiscriminately killing kids on soccer fields and old people in nursing homes.
Yeah, yet another reason, another powerful reason, Montana stands with Israel. All right, Jeff Laszlofy, thanks for that legislative update.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and areas of light snow today, around an inch possible in some areas. High temperatures from the mid-teens in Billings to the mid-30s in the Bozeman area. For tonight, snow shower chances early, especially towards Billings. Otherwise, lingering clouds with lows from 5 to 10 above. Then we'll see breaks of sun and some cloudiness Thursday with highs in the mid-20s to low 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Rascal Flatts have teamed up with pop group The Jonas Brothers to release I Dare You, marking the country band's first radio single since 2020. Back in October, the trio announced that they would be reuniting for a 2025 tour following a multi-year hiatus, and they shared a clip of the song on their Instagram. The country icon's 25th anniversary tour, the Life is a Highway tour, will kick off their 22-stop trek in Evansville, Indiana, February 13th. Lauren Alana and Chris Lane will serve as special guests. The trio recently played at the inauguration events of President Donald Trump. And while Beyonce took home the trophy for Best Country Album at the 67th Grammy Awards for Cowboy Carter, there were some other awards handed out. Kacey Musgraves, The Architect, won for Best Country Song, and Chris Stapleton won Best Country Solo Performance for It Takes a Woman. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I should probably tell Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio, hey, you know, anytime we see your name on the list of interview opportunities from Fox News Radio, we're going to try to get you on Montana Talks, because he always gives a great report, always gives great insight. But, Jeff, if you ever have to, you can turn us down. Don't feel like you have to join us on the show, because we request you every chance we get. Jeff Manasso, great to have you back on the show. Apparently, a deadline is approaching for these federal employees and the buyout offer from President Trump.
Hey, my friend, always good to be with you. Yeah, so the White House is expecting a massive spike in federal resignations to continue ahead of the deadline tomorrow. So nearly all federal employees have been offered buyouts. We're not talking about military personnel, not talking about U.S. Postal Service positions or those related to immigration enforcement, national security, things like that. Just the bloat in the government, according to the White House, that needs to go. And remote government workers specifically, who need to go back to the office 5 days a week or they've been told to resign. So employees have until tomorrow to take this offer, and reportedly thousands have. We've heard the, reported 20,000 number, but the White House last night said that those numbers are no longer accurate. Take that to whatever you think that means. It's probably way more than that, because as of 2022, the latest numbers for the federal government, the total wage bill for civilian employees was about $271 billion. And the Trump administration believes that 10% of eligible workers are going to take this offer, maybe more. And that would mean that the government would save $11 billion.
Wow.
And so we'll see. The only issue, I know there's been some lawsuits. There's a union in D.C. that has filed suit saying that this is illegal. And, there's language that may be an issue. So the federal government first granted buyout authority during Bush 41's administration. And then later, President Clinton passed a law allowing buyouts. But I think there was a $25,000 cap back then. So the law is still in effect, but there's that cap. And the average federal worker today makes $106,000 annually, many of them more.
Wow.
So the Trump administration sought to work around this problem by asking workers to go on administrative leave for 8 months. And so that is their workaround, and they believe that they got every right to do this, and that it's well within the law. So we'll see. I mean, we're talking about D.C. courts and D.C. judges, but this is what the Trump administration is doing. We heard overnight that the CIA also offering buyouts to its workforce, and that all employees for USAID have been recalled worldwide. So the Trump administration is moving fast. It's flooding the zone. And it's shrinking government.
Yeah, we love it back here in Montana. Well, this is one of the biggest challenges every president faces, because okay, how do you trim back the bureaucracy? How do you get rid of bad employees? Now some good employees may take the buyout offer too, right? But then that allows somebody else to rise up in the ranks. But how do you trim the federal workforce? That, you know, like you said, this could save billions of dollars. Well, this is a great opportunity where they can just voluntarily leave and not be forced out, not be kicked to the curb or whatever. And who knows, we're $36 trillion in debt. That this may be a really good opportunity before some mandatory reductions end up coming down through the pipeline anyway. I saw some numbers. My friend Brian Bennett reported last week that apparently there's 15,000 people in Montana who are eligible to this. So it'll be interesting when these numbers come out. You mentioned 20,000. They're saying maybe more now. It'll be interesting to see a state-by-state breakdown to see how many federal employees in Montana decide to take the buyout.
I mean, you're talking about an eight-month vacation, or you could go double dip. And there's a lot of things you could do. If I were offered an eight-month buyout, I might be I might look for property in your neck of the woods and join the ski patrol.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Go get some skiing in. Yeah.
It's something serious that you know people are looking at, and because the ramifications for not taking this buyout for many means that they're going to be out of a job with no parachute, with no 8-month parachute. Many of them know this. Trump 2.0, or the second Trump administration, seems pretty clear on what they're saying and how they're going to get some things done. And you know, this is a way for them to do it, to trim the fat, to trim the bloated bureaucracy and government workers, and by doing it in kind of a pretty kind manner.
And frankly, I think we, the American people, would rather pay these people not to do anything for the next few months than pay them to undermine this country or undermine the elected president. So certainly if you're one of those never Trumpers that just cannot stand the fact that you might have to, you know, carry out the, you know, the instructions of the duly elected president of the United States, well, take the offer. Go enjoy the ski season or whatever. Jeff Manasso, always great to have you on the show. Hey, and if you need a place to stay, maybe Brett Baer would let you, you know, borrow a room up at his place near Big Sky or something like that. You know,
yeah, we're in talks.
Intense negotiations. Yeah. Hey, tell him I need a place, too, while you're at it, if he doesn't mind hooking a brother up. No, I'm just kidding. Good stuff. All right, Jeff Manasso, great to have you on the show. Thanks for your report, as always. Yeah, apparently 15,000 federal employees could be eligible for this buyout offer in Montana. And from what I hear, I'll talk about it a little more after the break here, after the Farm and Ranch. But from what I hear, there are a lot of them that are seriously considering this. So it's going to be interesting to see. All right, back right after this. We've got phone lines open for you as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
While you're at it, the most dangerous words in the English language. Pivoting away from a clear objective, like building a bridge, to pursue a completely unrelated objective, like helping U.S. steelworkers, is rife in government spending. It's so ingrained into government procurement that people don't give it a second thought. If there's no easier way to attack the imbalance between spending and revenues, then to start getting more for what we spend. The Buy American Act was passed in 1933. It says that federal agencies and contractors must purchase domestically produced products, and that 50% of the total cost of the components of the project must have been sourced to U.S. suppliers. Between 2001 and 2019, researchers estimate that a now modified law preserved about 100,000 manufacturing jobs, but the cost of each job saved was $110,000. That's $11 billion of excess spending every year, and the scheduled tightening of domestic content requirements in 2029 will make it all even worse. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's February 5th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Weather Person's Day.
I'm always reminded that weather is the one thing we all experience together on the planet.
We should all honor the hard work of meteorologists like Fox's Janice Dean, forecasters, storm chasers, and spotters whose efforts help to keep millions of us safe in hard-hit areas of the country. Also on this date, in 1921, the New York Yankees purchased 20 acres of land in the Bronx, New York. It would eventually become the home of Yankee Stadium. In 1994, white supremacist Byron De La Beckwith was finally convicted for the 1963 murder of civil rights leader Medgar Evers, who was gunned down in the driveway of his Jackson, Mississippi home. Born on this day, baseball legend Hammerin' Hank Aaron, born in 1934. actor-comedian Tim Meadows, born in 1961. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
As CattleCon 25 continues this week in San Antonio, an Idaho rancher serves as the chair of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Policy Division, that being rancher Kim Brackett. Brackett says NCBA has multiple issues they're working on to address in Washington, D.C., from passing a farm bill, animal health priorities, and addressing issues on the tax front.
We're really pleased with the 2017 tax package that President Trump put forward, and we know that's one of his priorities going forward in this next administration. We're very supportive of what his tax package was then and what we're hearing now. Of course, we need to address estate tax. We need to address stepped-up basis. We also need to keep our finger on the pulse of the Corporate Transparency Act, seeing what's going on there.
As for cattle producers' concerns over the Dietary Guidelines for Americans,
their recommendation to reduce red meat consumption and replace it with plant proteins, just as you said, those are great proteins, but they're not complete proteins. So the concern is removing that from Americans' recommended diets is really highly concerning for us. So we continue to present scientific data in our comments on this process. We've engaged with multiple of our partners across the country in D.C. This is a work in progress. We're hopeful to see that this administration will maybe shift gears.
From CattleCon, I'm Lane Northblond.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Oh, we got a great caller on the phone line, so let me be real quick here. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. But yeah, my friend Brian Bennett, who does radio news here in Montana, we used to work together back in the day. He's the one who had this write-up. I sent him a note. I said, hey, that was interesting. I didn't see that anywhere else. Good job with that report. Trump administration offers buyouts to 15,000 in Montana. According to a White House memo, the Trump administration is offering eight-month buyouts to federal workers who do not wish to return to the office, provided they resign. And as Jeff Manasseh just told us, that deadline is basically here. As of November 2024, there were about 15,000 federal employees in Montana. Federal agencies, including the U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the National Park Service, manage about 30% of Montana's land mass. Well, they don't always manage it, but they've got control over it, right? But anyway, yeah, how many of these 15,000 employees might be eyeing this buyout? Maybe some of you are listening right now and you're saying, yeah, I'm looking at it. You know, hey, I'm approaching retirement anyway. Why not, right? The one thing I would say quickly is when I first heard, you know, that President Trump was offering this, I wondered how many people might want to take advantage of this. And then the other day, just a few days ago, I hadn't mentioned this on the radio yet. I was having a conversation with a few guys, and one guy is an insurance agent. And without using his name or his company, you know, unless he wants me to, of course, he was saying, oh, I've got a stack of inquiries on my desk, you know, of people who are current federal employees that are looking at taking this buyout offer because they're thinking, and so they're reaching out to him. Okay, well, how is this going to affect this? How is this going to do this? Well, what about, you know, this insurance complementing that insurance, you know, vice versa, you know, just across the board. So they're exploring all their options because they're seriously considering. He said he had a stack of them on his desk. So if that one insurance agent had a stack on his desk, I'll bet there's other insurance agents maybe listening to the show right now. They're saying, oh, yeah, I'm getting similar types of inquiries. Hey, if that's you, give us a call, 406-294-0970, or message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Questa in Cardwell, great to hear from you, a great fellow veteran. Appreciate your phone call. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Well, you're talking about a couple topics that, I had a call from a good friend of mine I met in the military when I was in Hawaii, and she moved back to her home state, and I won't mention that, but she works for the FBI office there, and she's right in the middle of all this. And so she gave me an interesting perspective last night. She said, you know, she always appreciated my opinion. And she said they're given, you know, the 8-month severance and full pay benefits until then. And then they'll be told whether or not they're retain their job or be done. Like, so they're not like 100% just done, but But she said, honestly, from within, and she's not anything fancy. She's just a, I can't remember what she called it, but basically she does whatever they ask her to do. She said it's a big waste. There's a lot of people sitting around doing nothing, waste. She feels bad, but it's a great job for where she lives, and she wants to be on her parents' ranch. But it was interesting to talk to her because she's like, you know, I agree with it, but it's, I see a lot of these, especially agents, having a hard time. They've been here 20 years. They don't know what to do. They're kind of worried, and she says they had to supply all the January 6 people that were involved in that, and
wow.
A lot of people are like, well, I didn't have a choice, and she's like, well, basically, you have to just answer questions if they do an investigation. So I guess the good news is Trump ain't messing around, and we can hear that from within. The second topic I wanted to quickly touch on is, you know, near and dear to me is Whitehall, Montana. My son goes to school there. I heard the administrators on your phone lines yesterday. And, you know, that person that was a drama coach is also the reporter for the Whitehall Ledger. And so there you go, liberal, 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 trying to infiltrate our children, who a lot of people trust, and didn't expect that to come out of left field. And I told Jason Slater, good job for the interception. It's hard to be everywhere at once as a leader in the military. We all know that. But at least you're keeping your eyes open and continuing to fight the battle.
Yeah, I didn't realize this, but I thought maybe he must have been a military veteran or something, or maybe a football coach, because he had that great.
Yeah, he's an Air Force veteran.
He's an Air Force veteran. And then Hannah Neeskens, who's the superintendent in Whitehall, both of them joined us on the show yesterday.
Yeah, her husband's a veteran.
Yeah, she's a military spouse and has been, it sounds like, doing some great work to advocate for military families. So it sounds like you just got great leadership there in the Whitehall schools. Because, and for those of you that missed it on the show yesterday, you can go back and listen to the podcast audio. Basically, you've got this drama advisor. She's not a teacher, and then she's also apparently a liberal, you know, at the local paper there, and she's working to get the liberal media, you know, to basically try to bash the Whitehall schools. She wanted to get this woke left-wing play with suicidal themes, with LGBTQ themes, questioning Christianity and God themes, and she wanted to push this on the school kids by making that the school play, and they're like, okay, this isn't appropriate for school. And so, yeah, a great interception indeed. Cuesta, if you can, stand by. I want to chat more with you here after the Fox News update. You mentioned the FBI in January 6th. Wait till I tell you some numbers on that front. And then I just want to get your take on a couple of other things as well. So stand by. In Cardwell, Montana, is able to stick around with us for a few more minutes here. So, Cuesta, yeah, you mentioned how your friend who works for the FBI was saying, you know, just what a joke some of the bureaucracy can be and the waste that she sees in government. And then, especially January 6th, all of the time and the agent, the agents that were wasted on January 6th. I mean, why didn't they go after? I mean, they have terrorists in this country that were crossing our southern border, drug cartels going crazy. There's blinking lights everywhere, according to the last FBI director. And yet they wasted so much time on January 6th. Elon Musk shared a tweet from End Wokeness yesterday. Get this. The FBI just revealed that 5,000 out of their 13,000 agents were focused on January 6th protesters. 39% of the entire bureau for this. I mean, to put that in a Montana perspective, the FBI is responsible for investigating crimes on our reservations, and there's been a lot of drug cartel crime on our reservations. But no, practically 40% of the bureau was focused on January 6th. I mean, for Pete's sake. Cuesta, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is my friend is nowhere near Washington, D.C. She's in the middle of the country, far away from there, and yet she had, I don't know what they were doing. And a lot of other people, you know, from all over the United States. So, one, it's obvious that we could have prevented a lot in a lot of different aspects, and there was a whole lot of just incompetence in DEI. It's obvious that the last administration didn't care, didn't want to do anything, and basically did it on purpose, in my opinion.
And hey, by the way, since you're a fellow Army veteran, I hope your cell phone connection isn't breaking up. Did you see what Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, doesn't that sound great, by the way? Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth says that in January, the U.S. Army hit its best recruiting number in 15 years. Well, you got a commander-in-chief like Donald Trump. You got a SecDef like Pete Hegseth. Yeah, apparently people want to be a part of what's going on now.
Well, and hopefully some of those highly qualified people that I worked with that got sent out because they didn't get the jab took the offer because, you know, it's great that we got new recruits, but we lost a whole lot of depth and knowledge and training because of woke ideology and overreach of the government. And I can't tell you the amount of time, energy, and resources we spent during COVID as a commander sitting on calls getting crucified because I refused to just shove this stuff down my face. I had to follow orders and I'd be careful, but I was dragging my feet, and I was probably the number one unit that said, bullshit, this is not right.
Careful with the language there on that one.
Lieutenant Colonel Edwards, you're the worst. Yep.
Well, sounds like you were the best standing up for your troops. Great job. All right, quick break here. Phone lines are open for you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, are you guys awake yet? All right, well, if Cuesta didn't wake you up, man, what a great American patriot, fellow veteran. I got a chance. I first met her at the V42 Fitness, a great veteran-owned gym in Three Forks, Montana. So it was great to meet her in person. Great to get her phone calls from time to time on this show. I mean, yeah, it's like what a waste. But the reason why I also wanted to share those numbers from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. I can't say that enough. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, a warrior's warrior at the helm of the DOD now. Let's see. I don't know if you guys remember. I did an interview with Jesse Kelly. Jesse Kelly's got a conservative TV show. I forget the platform that he's on now, but he's teaming up with Dana Lash on their TV program now. Jesse Kelly, I think he's a Marine Corps veteran. Anyway, great conservative commentator. But I joined him a while back, and we were talking, you know, military, national defense issues. And I said on his show at the time, and it's not a hard prediction to make. You know, I'm not the guy that typically does predictions, right? Oh, this is who's going to win the Super Bowl, although you could probably say the Kansas City Chiefs there, right? Because that's just how it's typically been going, although who knows, right? But on this prediction, look, when I was on Jesse Kelly's show, I said, look, you're going to see a massive boost in recruitment. You're going to see a massive boost in retention. I think we are already seeing the retention numbers for the U.S. military on the rise after the election of President Donald J. Trump to be the next commander in chief. So you think about all these men and women. A lot of them said, you know what, I'm done with this garbage. I'm getting out. You know, it's my time anyway. I'm doing some boring staff job anyway. And I hate PowerPoints and paperwork. So I'm done. You know, that might have been me. And then others got forced, kicked to the curb over this stupid COVID shot. And other people just got sick of the woke DEI garbage. They got sick of the garbage, you know, on display with the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan and seeing the commander-in-chief checking his watch at Dover while our fallen heroes are coming home in caskets. But think about how many good men and women stayed behind. They're like the stay-behind teams. If you're familiar with special operations and, you know, after the war ended and things like that, or after and the wall goes up, they stayed behind enemy lines as a stay behind element to continue advancing American interests, to continue the fight for freedom behind enemy lines. And that's what a lot of these men and women in our federal workforce have done in the last 4 years. They've been the stay behind team. And they're in our border patrol. And we know that there are good women in our Border Patrol here in Montana, because look at the roundups of illegal aliens they've been conducting in western Montana in particular. They've been rounding up illegal aliens, several different operations. So you know that there's been a stay behind element in our Border Patrol that has weathered all the BS, weathered all the lies from the media, the lies from the Biden administration, the lies from their own, Secretary of Homeland Security when Mayorkas was there lying about, Border Patrol agents whipping Haitian migrants. They weathered all that BS, but they were taking notes and they were writing down names and they knew exactly where these illegal aliens are and were. And once they had a commander in chief that was ready to stand up and defend the United States of America, they were ready to execute those operations. And that's why we've seen even operations here in Montana where Border Patrol has been rounding up illegal aliens. And similarly, man, same thing with our armed forces. There's good men and women who stayed in the military. They sacrificed their own lives to get that stupid COVID shot because they said, for the last 20 or so years, I've been sacrificing my life for my country. I guess I got to sacrifice my life and potentially get heart problems and potentially have this happen and potentially have that happen by getting this stupid COVID shot that they're forcing on us. But I'll risk my life once again and take the stupid thing so I can stay behind and be here to fix this organization when we get a new boss in the White House. But anyway, back to Jesse Kelly. I was telling Jesse Kelly, I said, we're already seeing the retention numbers on the rise with President Donald J. Trump, and he gets sworn in. You're going to see a massive increase in retention for our U.S. armed forces, meaning the men and women that are still serving that are saying, I'm going to serve again. I'm going to serve for a few more years. I'm raising my right hand and I'm going to do it. And they're continuing to stay because they see hope now. And they're able to do their freaking jobs. But I also said, you're going to see a massive surge in recruitment. How many of our fellow veterans out there have been telling your kids in the last 4 years, I would have told you to join the military. It was a great opportunity for me. It made me a better, the men and women that I served with made me a much better man than I would have been if I hadn't served with them. And the sacrifice made me a better person, and I would not trade that sacrifice for anything. But yet some of you who would say those very things that I just said right now would tell your kids or tell other people's kids, I can't tell you to join right now because of all this BS that's going on, that not just Joe Biden was pushing on the force, but that John Tester and the Democrats and all of them, every single one of these guys were willing conspirators in what took place in this country, the invasion of our homeland. And the disgrace that was done to these American patriots. But yeah, again, here's the full tweet from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. In December 2024, the U.S. Army had its best recruiting number in 12 years. That was in December. Donald Trump hadn't even been sworn in yet, but he was elected. They saw hope on the horizon. In January of 2025, it's now February 5th, in January of 2025, the U.S. Army hit its best recruiting number in 15 years. Just like we predicted, American patriots are standing up and saying, and raising their right hand to stand up and defend their country. Because they know they've got a commander-in-chief and they know they've got a secretary of defense right now who are going to let them do their jobs and who's going to back them over the bureaucrats and the politicians in Washington who've been throwing them under the bus for the last 20-plus years. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said this, bottom line, America's youth want to serve under the bold and strong America First leadership of President Trump. Lawrence Jones, the great guy on Fox and Friends, in the mornings, he traveled along with Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, traveled with SecDef Hegseth down to the southern border, traveled with SecDef Hegseth to Fort Bliss, traveled with him, I think, even to the U.S. Northern Command headquarters down in Colorado Springs. And Lawrence Jones interviewed a bunch of soldiers. Hey, what do you think? What do you think? What's it like having the SecDef here? What'd you tell him? And I don't know if it was Kilmeade. Somebody asked Lawrence Jones. They said, Lawrence, Did they tell you, the soldiers that you were allowed to interview? Did they say, okay, here, interview these three soldiers over here. Don't talk to those other guys over there. Don't talk to old Private Snuffy. Here, we got Joe over here. You talk to Joe. Don't even bring your microphone over to Private Snuffy. No, they didn't tell them who to interview, who not to interview. The SecDef said, hey, or actually one of the aides to the Secretary of Defense looked over at the troops and said, the Secretary of Defense has authorized every single one of you to speak. So if any of you want to talk to Lawrence Jones, feel free. Go ahead. What a massive sea change when you look at it from that standpoint. Speaking of Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, let's see. I think this was on X, Rapid Response 47. That's President Trump's Rapid Response team on X. Here is Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth talking about his first border trip as SecDef. I think this was part of the Lawrence Jones reporting, if I'm not mistaken.
So, Mr. Secretary, have the meetings been so hard? Had you been talking with your command staff about getting this border secure and ready? Do they have the tools necessary already?
You know, it's been incredible to watch the military respond to the lawful orders of the commander-in-chief. There's been no hesitation. There's been full integration, belief in the mission. You know, our generation has spent 20 years guarding other people's borders while watching an invasion of our own. And the great people, the Border Patrol and DHS and ICE have done the best they can, but nobody can bring assets to bear like the Defense Department. Nobody.
What a great back and forth there. I know it was a little hard to hear. That was the in-flight, in-helicopter audio with Lawrence Jones and SecDef Pete Hegseth. But, yeah, the line, there was a couple of lines that stood out, but one of them was, the American military spent the last 20 years defending other nations' borders while we've watched an invasion take place on our own. Anyway, great back and forth. Go to x.com/AaronFlint. I retweeted that one and a whole host of other great information. 406-294-0970. Phone lines are open.
Get Now Internet. Reliable internet with unlimited data, no commitments, no hidden fees. Now that's calming. Like floating on a cloud made of cotton candy. Now, excuse me, gotta run. I see a massage chair with my name on it.
Get Now Internet with unlimited data starting at $30 a month, all in with no commitments, all backed by the Xfinity Network. Turn chill mode on at Xfinity.com/now. Restrictions apply. Speeds up to 100 megabits per second. Actual speeds vary. Pricing subject to change.
Fox News commentary.
Democrats are furious over cuts to USAID, but waste, fraud, and abuse initiatives don't fit the mega agenda. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, the Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
If there's one thing Democrats and grifters loved about Biden more than anything else, it was the blank check and the zero attention he paid to where our money was going. But that's over now. President Trump has cut off USAID until such a time comes that the fine print no longer includes things such as drag shows in Ecuador. But see, some of our Democrat friends love spending your money on stupid pet projects, so they staged a demonstration out of the USAID headquarters to show their displeasure. Many are also pointing their anger cannons at Elon Musk for doing exactly what Doge was created to do. I'm sure there are some worthwhile projects funded by USAID, but the thing is, there is so much on the government credit card, Trump has to cancel the card to stop the bleeding and start from scratch. These agencies have been operating as unchecked global money cannons, and you, the American taxpayers, deserve better. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and areas of light snow today, around an inch possible in some areas. High temperatures from the mid-teens in Billings to the mid-30s in the Bozeman area. For tonight, snow shower chances early, especially towards Billings. Otherwise, lingering clouds with lows from 5 to 10 above. Then we'll see breaks of sun and some cloudiness Thursday with highs in the mid-20s to low 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Single-digit temperatures, snow in several parts of Montana. I just hope it all clears up before the Gate Show in Glendive coming up on Valentine's Day, Friday and Saturday. Hey, either way, we will be there with Montana Talks live from the Gate Show in Glendive. Always great to catch up with our friends in eastern Montana. In the meantime, we're taking your phone calls and much more. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
C.com for more information on your cooperative membership. Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative, the energy to thrive.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tim and Savage with the pro tip. Hey, for the callers, if you get a little fired up, and instead of using the word you want to use, just replace it with Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff. Yeah, you get fired up and you want to talk some Adam Schiff, just use Adam Schiff's name in vain. That's the best way to say what you want to say within the FCC guidelines. All right, let's see here. Let's see. Man, we got a lot to talk about here this morning. Great phone call earlier that really, you know, kind of, you know, set me on that last little rant there. Talking about the DOD and this great new Secretary of Defense that we've got. I know it probably has many of you wondering, okay, what about the rest of President Trump's team? I mean, he's got a great SecDef in place now. How do we get the rest of his team in place? Well, let's start there. Let me see. I think Peter Ducey, I think, had that report. Who was it? I know I've got it here somewhere. Cabinet nominees, or was it special report? Okay, yeah, I think it was Chad Pergram on special report. Here we go.
A twofer. Health Secretary pick RFK Jr. and Director of National Intelligence nominee Tulsi Gabbard face challenging confirmations, but the nominations are now on a glide path for the Senate floor, cleared by two Senate committees.
The Intelligence Committee just voted to report Tulsi Gabbard's nomination to be the Director of National Intelligence favorably to the full United States Senate.
The vote was 9-8. Indiana Republican Todd Young voted yes in committee. He received unspecified assurances from Gabbard. Young also talked with President Trump, Vice President Vance, and Elon Musk. Young said the president told him to vote his conscience.
Never an intimation. I've done my work. I've done my vetting. I've done what I think, as a former Marine Corps intelligence officer, is consistent with the national security interests.
But Democrats doubt that Gabbard can guard the nation's secrets, especially after she once backed spy Edward Snowden.
It's flabbergasting to me that she couldn't even bring herself to call Edward Snowden a traitor. Yeah. Someone that I think all of us involved in the intelligence community feels a traitor.
All right, now give me a break. You guys wouldn't even call Alejandro Mayorkas a traitor, who allowed an invasion to take place, for Pete's sake. Yeah, that's a little bit. But, yeah, it looks like with more the Republicans finally getting their act together, it looks like Tulsi Gabbard is close to getting across the finish line. Let's see. I got a great message from Bob in Anaconda here talking about the buyouts being offered up to federal employees. Maybe I'll save that one for the 8 o'clock hour of the show because I see we're getting a little bit short on time here. Andy and Whitefish sent us a great message earlier talking about the Democrats screeching over the defunding of these woke USAID problems at the U.S. agency or programs at the U.S. Agency for International Development. Andy said this, you know, with the problems that we face as a great nation, I'm tired of hearing how everyone else's problems are bigger than ours. America first and last. Screw everybody else. That's from Andy and Whitefish. Meanwhile, Lightbrows and Harden says, hey, a little bird told me that there are some good deals on real estate in the D.C. metro area on the horizon. Lightbrows, thanks for that message. Hey, interest rates may still be too high for you to want to buy a new house, but why not invest in the house you got right now? They've got an unbeatable deal. 50% off your window purchase. Minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss, especially if you want to upgrade to those energy efficient triple pane windows if you're feeling the cold air flowing through right now here in Montana. Who is they? Who's they them that I'm talking about? Well, it's YHIC, your home improvement company.
Easy financing, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Seriously, upgrading your windows has never been easier. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows. Easy financing, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Again, call them 948-2836 or go to YHIC.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
While you're at it, the most dangerous words in the English language. Pivoting away from a clear objective, like building a bridge, to pursue a completely unrelated objective, like helping U.S. steelworkers, is rife in government spending. It's so ingrained into government procurement that people don't give it a second thought. Yet there's no easier way to attack the imbalance between spending and revenues than to start getting more for what we spend. The Buy American Act was passed in 1933. It says that federal agencies and contractors must purchase domestically produce products, and that 50% of the total cost of the components of the project must have been sourced to U.S. suppliers. Between 2001 and 2019, researchers estimate that that now modified law preserved about 100,000 manufacturing jobs, but the cost of each job saved was $110,000. That's $11 billion of excess spending every year, and the scheduled tightening of domestic content requirements in 2029 will make it all even worse. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.